Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 9, day 4 of the study of Romans. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Romans 15, 14 through 22. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word is saying to us today, God? Speak to us. We want to know you more. God, we want to feel your presence as we dig deep into your word. Lord, fill our minds with your word and your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 14. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. Yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So here Paul is saying, you know, hey, I haven't been there before. We all know this, you know that I haven't come to Rome before. But Paul feels this kindred spirit with Rome because Paul knows that God has called him to be a minister to the Gentiles, an evangelist to the Gentiles, even though he's a Jew himself. He knows for certain that God has called him to that. And so Rome is the center of the Gentile world at this point. I mean, this is the actual capital city of the nation of Rome, and it's the cultural center of the Roman Empire and you know, everything. I mean, once Greece was taken over by Rome, everything, of course, switched from Athens kind of being the center of the world, and Athens was really never the center of the world as such. Like Rome was, but things did shift, and Rome became not just the unofficial capital of the world or Western world at this point. I mean, it was legitimately this. It's the center of everything, and so Paul has got this desire. I think a little bit of a Holy Spirit desire, and probably knowing that the calling that he's been given, Paul has got this desire of his own to fulfill that calling to go to the center of the Gentile world, to Rome, and just see it and preach the gospel there. There's a tug in his heart for Rome. And so he's writing this letter to the Romans, even though he doesn't really have a lot of desire to labor there for an extended period of time, even though that's going to happen against his will. He doesn't have a desire to labor there because the church is already established, and he's saying here, you know, that he doesn't want to go and work where someone else has worked, is what we're about to read here. And so, but Paul still feels himself that he's this apostle to the Gentiles, and so he feels like he can speak to the people in Rome relatively confidently. He can speak to them as a father figure, if you will, to the people in Rome, even though they don't know him personally. They know of him. They do know of him. At this point, you know, Paul is well known across the Gentile world, and even especially the Jewish world, because they want to kill him, and they're going to try to kill him when he goes back to Jerusalem, which is where he's headed. Is what he tells us here in Romans. His head is on his way to Jerusalem. His plan was to go to Jerusalem and then head to Rome. And that's going to happen, but it's going to happen against his will. He's going to be in chains when he does that. And we know that from reading the book of Acts. It's all very clear. But he longs for Rome, and he knows that the people in Rome, he's saying, I know you are good people. You are filled with goodness. And I've said the things that I've said boldly because God has given me grace to do these things, to be this minister to the Gentiles. Verse 17, therefore I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I've said and done. by the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I've often been hindered in coming to you. So Paul has wanted to visit Rome for a long time, but because his desire to only go to places where the gospel has already been preached, he's found other places to go to. He's only gone to other places. Rome's a good bit further than anywhere he's been so far. And so he said, you know, hey, from everywhere from Jerusalem to Illyricum, which is basically in the Aegean Peninsula in Greece, he's preached the gospel. And this is a huge statement here. He's saying, I have preached it everywhere. The gospel is fully known. Now, I think this is probably a bit of hyperbole here, that not every single person in every one of those places has heard the gospel through Paul's preaching. I'm sure every single person in all of those places has not heard the gospel, even secondhand. But Paul has proclaimed the gospel in all of those places in the major city centers where that message has been received and then can then be distributed by other messengers of the gospel. That's what Paul is talking about. The kingdom of God works very well as a pyramid scheme. If you're familiar with what I'm talking about, you know, it only takes one evangelist to evangelize two people. And then they evangelize two people apiece, and that's four people. And they do the same thing, and you got eight people. And you see the snowball effect that has. It doesn't take any one person evangelizing that many people for it to grow relatively quickly and relatively large. And if you got someone, you know, if one person preaches to four people and evangelize them, and they become believers, and then those four people each do four people. I mean, it's amazingly quick how this works when it's done that way. And there are actually, just so you know, there are movements like that on earth today. It was very much like that in different places, not everywhere, but in different places in Paul's day that did happen. And there are very much in existence today places where that kind of rapid expansion, explosion of the gospel is happening now. So those were exciting times then, they're exciting times now. And one of the things I want to key in on here of what Paul is saying is that he doesn't want to speak about anything that he's accomplished. All of this preaching the gospel to the Gentiles and all that kind of stuff, he's not interested in just wearing that badge of honor, except that it was through the power of signs and wonders by the Spirit of God. He doesn't mind bragging about that because he knows he can say, this is not because I'm a great preacher. In fact, when we look at the book of Acts, Paul is mostly silent. Barnabas is the one preaching and doing everything, and Paul is kind of there helping. We have this mindset that because Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament, that, you know, he is, you know, the preeminent apostle of the church at this hour. And that's not really true. Now, yes, everyone knows about him because of his writing. Everyone knows about him because of the things he's done and the places he's gone. But we have to understand that not necessarily, you know, even now, today, some of the most famous preachers are not necessarily some of the best writers and the most prolific writers. Oftentimes, the most prolific writers are the opposite of the most prolific speakers. Now, back then, it was a little bit different. And Paul is not writing, you know, New York Times bestsellers here. He's writing books that have been handed down through the centuries. But if you understand what I'm saying here, Paul probably wasn't as famous in his day as we think he was amongst the church. Now, he was well known, but, you know, if and he alludes to this in different epistles, you know, that he's kind of like looked down upon by people at times. He kind of is not really the star apostle, if you will. You know, the majority of the church probably thinks of Peter and James and John and these guys as the main apostles, which they were. They were the apostles of the Lamb. And Paul is somewhat a lesser outsider. But Paul worked tirelessly to spread the gospel in all around the world. Now, several of the apostles eventually did make their way around the Roman world. I mean, we know that Peter ended up in Rome. John ended up in Ephesus. We're told that like Thomas ended up in India. So they spread out. They did spread out and they moved around quite a bit. But Paul beat them to most of those places. Paul was out there doing it long before them, and it was the Holy Spirit that sent him, and it was the Holy Spirit that attested to what he was doing. It was the Holy Spirit, it was the power of signs and wonders. We read in the book of Acts, Paul is constantly healing people. He's having miraculous encounters where vipers, you know, jump out and bite him from a fire, and he's fine. You know, all of these kinds of things, you know, healing the governor's wife or healing the governor and all these kind of things over and over and over again. You know, people are amazed that this God that Paul preaches loves them enough to send someone who can heal them and who can perform signs and wonders and miracles. I mean, all of the things that Paul did, they were amazing. But we shouldn't think of Paul as the most well-known apostle at this time. Now, we don't know one way or another whether he was or not. But by his writing, it's easy for anyone in subsequent generations to suppose that Paul was the most famous because he wrote so prolifically. But that doesn't mean that he was, you know, this apostle that just was a household name at the time. But he is going to make it to Rome. And he is going to, as far as we understand through church history, there were signs and wonders in Rome. We don't have an account of those in the Bible, but we have accounts of signs and wonders and miracles all the way to Rome in the book of Acts. But I love this fact that he wanted to point out that he was not going to boast about anything except for the Holy Spirit's activity through signs and wonders. And that's because Paul knows that he knows and everyone else should know it's not about him. It's not about his ability to preach the gospel and how great a preacher he was and all that kind of stuff. It's about how much God loves the people that he's sending Paul to. That's the most important thing. The Lord has called all of us to be ambassadors of the gospel, but it's not about our ability to preach the word. It's not about our ability to evangelize. The Lord has given some people the gift of evangelism. And all they've got to do is just kind of be in proximity to other people. And those people will get convicted. They open their mouth to ask how the weather is, and people just fall apart and say, let me know, tell me how to know Jesus. I mean, there are people like that on planet Earth, and that is a supernatural power gift. Not everyone's like that, but it doesn't matter because the power of the gospel is supernatural. And Paul knew it wasn't about him, and he was happy that the Lord gave him so many signs and wonders and miracles to attest to the gospel wherever he went. And I think that is for us today. We should ask for those kinds of things. And it's not so that we could say, oh, how cool are we that God did this sign or wonder or miracle. It's because the gospel deserves that kind of power. The gospel deserves us praying to the Lord and asking God, give us miracles, signs, and wonders when we preach the name of Jesus, just like they prayed in Acts 4. Give us boldness by stretching out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders at the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Lord, do this stuff that's been happening since day one. Do it through us so that people will believe this message. We can do that today. There's nothing in the Bible that says we can't. That doesn't mean just because we ask, it'll happen right away. But like in Luke chapter 18, verses, I believe, 1 through like 8 or 9, Jesus tells us a parable that faith to him looks like praying until we see it happen. Just keep pestering the Lord over and over and over again. Lord, I want to see souls. Give me signs and wonders. Lord, I want to see souls. Give me signs and wonders. Lord, I want to see souls. Give me signs and wonders. And don't ever take no for an answer. When there's silence, don't take no for an answer. Don't take silence for an answer. From the Lord is what I'm talking about. If the Lord doesn't answer you, don't be satisfied with silence. Don't be satisfied with no. The Lord says he loves it. He loves it when he's silent and we press in anyway. He loves it when he says, no, I'm not really going to do that. And we press in anyway and say, no, I really want you to do this, Lord. I really want you to do this. He loves that. And that's the lifestyle that Paul lived. And it's the same lifestyle we can live. It's not about how awesome was Paul, how great a writer was Paul. It was about the fact that Paul just never quit asking God, do this stuff, Lord. Do this stuff so that people will believe. And we can have access to the same fervor that he had. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I really am glad you joined me. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.